Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. Ed and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, October the 23rd, 2014. Hope you're having a good day. We have a very jam-packed, content-filled hour for you, as usual. First half hour, our candidate interview series, spotlighting today the two candidates for state senate in District Number 2. At 12:30, we talk with a U of A researcher about a study between losing your job and gaining weight. And then Tom Collier, the Buckmaster Show contributor on consumer affairs, with us at 12:45. Our live line number is 790-2040, and you can find us on Facebook. Today we do continue with our ongoing candidate series. Today we look at District 2. District 2 covers Southside Tucson neighborhoods, east of Nogales Highway, South Tucson, DM, Saharita, Green Valley, Aravaca, and Santa Cruz County. With me in studio, the two candidates, the incumbent Democrat, Andrea D'Alessandro, a former accountant and teacher who was first elected to the State House in 2012, representing LD2. She was appointed to the state senate in 2014 to fill out the remainder of State Senator Linda Lopez's term when Linda retired in January. The challenger in this race is Republican Daniel Estrella, a former Marine who is currently a staff sergeant with the Army National Guard here in Tucson, and he is also now working for the Jim Click Automotive Group. Thank you both for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
Let's begin with the challenger, Sergeant Estrella. Why are you running in this race?
Well, I'm running to go ahead and bring effective leadership down to Southern Arizona. I want to go ahead and be able to be the voice for the people here and be able to be part of the majority in order to go ahead and get effective legislative issues passed.
Senator D'Alessandro, why should folks send you back to Phoenix?
Well, I think my opponent assumes that the Senate will be in the Republican majority, and I'm when I fight for education, I am the voice for all of my constituents. When I speak for the environment and for health care and for roads and infrastructure, I've been that voice. And I have a record of, as you well know, reaching across the aisle and getting my Cherry Bell House Concurrent Memorial with bipartisan support passed last time. So everyone recognizes me as a professional, hardworking, full-time legislator.
Sergeant Estrella, why do you think that you would do a better job than Senator D'Alessandro?
Well, right now, I can go ahead and caucus with the majority. So all I need are 15 votes in order to get anything passed. And that's not going to be as hard of an issue. And I don't need to pull Democrats in order to go ahead and influence the changes that I need to make.
The major issue, Sergeant, at the top of your agenda, why don't you give us a couple of your top priorities?
Well, my top priority is actually the economy. I mean, education, health, and all those other things are very important. But unless we go ahead and get dollars in people's pockets, those other things are not going to go ahead and help anyone else up.
So economy, then what?
Then the education system. We want to go ahead and make sure that the funding is being allocated properly. Half of the budget is already being spent on education here in Arizona. So now we need to go ahead and make sure that those dollars are getting down to the classrooms as opposed to going ahead and being put a part of the administration.
It sounds like, Senator D'Alessandro, that those are your two issues as well, and education,
yeah,
correct?
This is very true. And one of my frustrations is that the Republican leadership hadn't, in the 2 years that I've served, been very interested in jobs. They seem to have a one-track mind, and that's only to lower taxes. But if we look at GrandCanyonInstitute.org, a bipartisan Arizona think tank, they show that while the tax cuts reduce revenue, they've done nothing to create jobs or stimulate the economy. And I would like to take issue with the classroom spending. It does get to the classroom, but it's in an indirect way. As a educator of 25 years, I've taught everything from seventh grade math to seniors college accounting. The way the formula is written, support services that are necessary, first of all, to get our kids to school. A lot of children have to take school buses to get get to school. And we also have a population that needs extra support with regards to guidance counselors, psychological counseling, and other aids. And this doesn't get counted as the classroom, but it really directly impacts the students.
Sergeant, would you like to respond to that? I mean, is there, I think there's a difference here. I was doing a little bit of research before your interview that you believe that the rainy day fund should not be tapped, that $300-some million to take care of that lawsuit. Is that correct?
Yes, I do believe that we should not be using the rainy day fund.
Not get into it.
Not be utilized, because that's the reason why it's there for a rainy day. It's not there to go ahead and be used in order to go ahead and fund this lawsuit that we had lost.
So you would take the position of continuing the legal battle to try to resolve this?
Yes, I would. I would. Right now, we're already in a deficit as it is, and this is just going to put us more in a deficit as a state if we go ahead and for the next 5 years give $300 million.
And Senator D'Alessandro, you take a different position from that.
Yeah. Now, this is not giving anything. This was a measure that the voters strongly support. And one of the motivating factors for me to run for the legislature in the first place was seeing the wasted taxpayer money in these endless court cases against unconstitutional laws and other things. I want to put the money in the classroom, not the courtroom. And, you know, they're really, by taking this position, they're actually being fiscally irresponsible, because if the courts rule in our favor, it won't be just the $300 million. It'll be the full load, which is over $1 billion.
I think it's 1.3.
Yes, 1.3 billion. So I think the education community is being very reasonable selecting this compromise.
All right, 12:11 here on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation. Talk a little bit about early balloting, Sergeant Estrella. I know you are not a big fan of it. You'd like to go back to the days when everybody voted on Election Day.
Exactly. There should be just the one day for election. That's what is set upon in the Constitution. It's not supposed to be an election month. It's not supposed to be something that is going and being drawn at the first week of October and all the way until November the 4th, the first Tuesday of November. That should be something that if voting is important to you, then you should be able to get out and vote on the day that it's mandated.
And what do you think of this so-called ballot harvesting?
Oh, well, ballot harvesting is something where they go ahead and you have an individual that goes and gathers the ballots from the community. Well, everyone should go ahead and have their votes counted. Well, they can go ahead and send it in the mail. So then at least there's a chain of custody. Because if somebody goes and harvests all these ballots, then we don't really know where the chain of custody goes and how these ballots, if there is going to be any fraudulent voting going on there.
And there's an 8-minute video that's circulating. I think it's 8 minutes about... It's Maricopa County that somebody is stuffing ballots for 8 minutes or something. The video's gone viral.
This is a group that broke no law. It is legal to collect other people's ballots to make sure they're getting there. I don't know what the specific group is, but I know that the first lines with the video was this person was doing something illegal, and that is not true.
Yeah, because so-called ballot harvesting, we're the only state, I believe, that does allow this.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but people,
I think that's the case.
Yes, we're the only state that allows.
People's ballots are filled out and then they're signed and sealed. So all they're doing is taking the place of the post, of going through the mail, and it actually saves the county some money. And I support the early voting. I think this is one of the progressive things in the state, going back to our initial statehood over 100 years ago. In Legislative District 2, we have many working families who are working two jobs, and it's virtually impossible for them to get to the polling place. Also, elderly people who have difficulty going to the polls. So I think the American spirit is that we want to do everything possible for every person who is eligible to vote.
So you are in favor, and you're on record in favor of this particular ballot harvesting, or whatever you want to call it.
Well, there are groups out there that are collecting ballots. I know that in the past, I volunteer on Election Day, and on occasion, someone will call Democratic headquarters and say, I need someone to pick up my ballot. I was sick. I filled it out. Take the envelope. Bring it. There's no fraud. There's no fraud involved with that.
Is that kind of a dangerous precedent, though, in your opinion, Sergeant Estrella?
Yes, it is. It is a dangerous precedent because if there's not a chain of custody of where that ballot comes from and who's collecting it, then there is no oversight.
It is sealed and closed, and the person's signature. If it's someone else's signature, the ballot will not be allowed. So, it's no different than going through the mail.
And
if somebody's envelope has been opened prior to the record, that would be a problem. But the only case of voter fraud that I know of two Republicans in Green Valley who voted in their home state and then voted again in Arizona. Those are the only two cases that most people in the state have ever heard about. This was part of House Bill 2305, which the summer before last, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, Libertarians, and Greens, and a whole bunch of non-for-profit worked to get rid of that bill. And then the Republicans were afraid that it would be an awesome effort to get out our vote for November 4th, so they repealed the law that they passed the year before.
All right. We will take a break right now on the Buckmaster Show. It's about 12:16. Be right back. Daniel Estrella and Andrea D'Alessandro, right after this.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
The car's bubbling over again.
Well, I can fix that.
No, Fester, we're going to take it to Perfection Auto Works. We want it fixed right the first time.
Yeah, Fester, don't you remember the last time you tuned up the car?
Yeah.
And the brake job you did?
Yeah.
Yes, my good man. We're taking the car to Perfection Auto Works at 323-8650. Now, where are my keys?
You rang?
thank you, Thing.
Perfection Auto Works, 1046 North Beverly at Speedway, 2 blocks west of Craycroft, since 1994. 323-8650. Or visit our website at perfectionautoworks.com. 323-8650.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:21 on this Thursday afternoon, and in our effort to educate the voters as much as possible, trying to introduce as many of the candidates for state and federal office as possible between, well, we actually started this right after the primary, and we'll keep it going right up to Election Day. I think we will have brought through here, Ed, about 35 different candidates by the time we are through. And today we have State Senator Andrea D'Alessandro, and she is the incumbent Democrat in District Number 2. And Daniel Estrella is with us. Daniel is the challenger, the Republican challenger. You know, we were talking during the break, not that I don't like to listen to the sponsors. Thank goodness for the sponsors, right, Ed? They pay the bills for this particular show, and they believe what we're doing. But we were chatting a bit about the Cherry Bell Processing Center. And Daniel, you were saying that it's kind of indicative of the federal government, how they view the Tucson economy.
Yes, they haven't seen any growth here, or at least enough to go ahead and give us to qualify of having a processing center here. We're not doing the amount of packages, and we're not doing the amount of mail volume in order to go ahead and keep something here. So that just tells us how that's just kind of a watermark that lets us know how well we're doing.
And Andrea, what can be done at this point? I mean, is this still pretty much considered a done deal?
Well, just this week I read a document that the Tucson Consolidation, as they call it, haven't done some studies that they were supposed to about the effects of service in the area. But I'd like to remind you that the establishment of the post office is in the Constitution before amendments to establish post offices and post roads, but I'll leave the roads part to Senator Steve Farley. And the goal of Congress is to privatize it. Like with many Republicans, that's their mantra. And I'd like to also, this is a subject that's near and dear to my heart because my husband's a retired letter carrier. The post office hires more veterans than any entity except the Department of Defense. And we have a lot of time-sensitive legal documents and election documents. And I predict that if this closes, and I don't think it's because the business is down, I think what this does, if this does indeed close, it'll block future economic development and growth. And I predict that in 5 years, we'll be fighting for the Phoenix Mail Processing Center because they'll be trying to go out of state with the ultimate goal of privatization, and I'm against that.
Daniel, want to weigh in on that?
Well, I remember in March when, you know, my opponent was touting how she had saved the Silver Bell, the Cherry Bell processes that are...
That's not true.
That was on the show, actually. Yes, you did. And I can go back to the podcast and we can find that.
That is not true. I said that I had a House concurrent memorial passed with bipartisan support. I didn't say I saved it. Please be accurate.
Okay. Well, besides the point, that is that the fact that we need to go ahead and spur our economic environment in order to go ahead and enlist and have the federal government remember that we are still here and we are the largest municipality that does not have a processing center. So we need to go ahead and do the work ourselves in order to go ahead and get those things brought back here, brought back home.
Well, it is a good point, and it does worry me because I think for economic development points of view, if a company is looking at Tucson, Arizona, and they do their research, which they all do, and they discover, well, your mail goes up to Phoenix.
Yeah,
and this is a city of about a million people, and they're probably shaking their heads and saying, well, do we really want to locate here when you don't even have a mail processing center? So this could have, unfortunately, some really big economic repercussions. Charles is on the Buckmaster Show live line. Charles would like to ask the question of the candidates. Go ahead, Charles.
Thanks. This is for both candidates, and kudos to Ms. D'Alessandro for knowing that the post office is in the Constitution before the Bill of Rights was. Good for you for knowing that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Along the lines, both of you either are reapplying for a job here, reapplying or applying to be our hired help in Phoenix, and I would like to know, one of the things you're going to have to do is swear an oath to the Constitution of both Arizona and the United States. According to Arizona's Constitution, what is the stated purpose of government? And I'll take my answer on the radio.
Oh, boy. That's a tough one. Well, I'm going to let the candidates go ahead with that. Any idea?
Well, there is a requirement for education to improve and maintain education, K to 12, and also there is a provision for a higher education is supposed to be as near to free as possible. There are other provisions that require public safety, and I'll leave it with those three.
Daniel, do you have any idea?
You want to go ahead and be able to keep the individual safe and be able to provide the public services that are necessary in order to have a stable government and keep order and preserve it.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up here, but we'll give each of you a chance to decide why and make a pitch, basically, to the voters on why they should send Senator D'Alessandro back to Phoenix. I'll get ladies first here as we close. Go ahead. Take about a minute or so.
Well, I'm older, and I'm going to play the age card. Because I have lived through so much, my experience as a professional, both as an educator and as a certified public accountant, it seems that when something comes up in Phoenix, even if it's something I haven't run on, that I haven't prepared for, it seems that I have some firsthand knowledge of it. So the bottom line is that I'm a prepared, professional, effective legislator who frequently meets with people on the other side of the aisle. Tuesday, I'm my public safety committee is meeting on a sunset hearing, and I have an agenda of people on that committee across the aisle and on my side of the aisle that I want to talk about. So
you feel you could work with and do work with people of both parties?
I do every day. I do every day.
And Daniel, in your concluding remarks, go ahead.
Well, I've dedicated myself to duty and selfless service. I have 18 years in the actual military, and I actually swear to protect and defend the Constitution of Arizona and of the United States every time I reenlist here in the National Guard. So I feel that I've dedicated myself for this time, and I've worked within the government. I've seen how the federal government works, and I see how the state government works, and how there's waste, and there's things that need to go ahead and be dealt with. The regulations have been stifling us down here in southern Arizona, and I want to go ahead and rectify those things.
And you feel you could work easily with both parties?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to add? Because you left about 15 seconds on the table.
Oh, no. I try to be as efficient as possible.
All right. Websites. Folks can find out more about Andrea D'Alessandro on your website.
Yeah, D'Alessandro, for F-O-R-A-Z, and it's D-A-L-E-S-S-A-N-D-R-O.
Okay, and Daniel Estrella?
My website is Estrella, F-O-R-A-Z.com.
And while we're spelling last names, please spell your last name for
us. It's E-S-T-R-E-L-L-A. Most of the Hispanic voters will know how to spell that.
All right. And my name's Bill Buckmaster, and it's 12:29 on the Buckmaster Show. And I want to thank both the candidates for being with us, and best of luck to both of you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. It was my pleasure.
All right, coming up now on 12:30 Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. By the way, tomorrow our Friday Focus interview will be with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. Will be with us. But coming up next, losing a job and a correlation with gaining weight. That's next on the Buckmaster Show.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's V-S-C-O-T.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Audi, Porsche, BMW, Mercedes, Plutus Motor Group. A different way to purchase an automobile. Plutus Motor Group. It's the experience. PlutusMotorGroup.com.
This is David Clark with Plutus Motor Group, inviting you to our open house Wednesday, October 29th from 9 till 6. Bring a friend and see why we say it's the experience. Plutus Motor Group, 3648 East Ajo Way, or call 529-1000. We look forward to meeting you on the 29th.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. From cooking, cleaning, bathing, and drinking, the benefits of a Culligan system are obvious. You'll use less soap, shampoo, and detergent. Your appliances will last longer, your clothes will last longer, and stay brighter, too. All of this saves you money and adds to the quality of life. Not to mention softer skin and softer hair the whole family will enjoy. Culligan has been in Tucson since 1946, and we have seen about every water concern imaginable. We continue to stay on top of the newest state-of-the-art technology to deliver the refreshing, clean, and high-quality water that's become the Culligan hallmark of excellence. Try a Culligan water treatment system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months rental on an annual rental agreement. Schedule your free water test, and don't forget to ask about the Culligan high-efficiency water softener. Call 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2 hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here. Tucson Desert Art Museum.
Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanque Verde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We push toward 12:35 on this Thursday afternoon. A new University of Arizona study aims to find out if interruption in sleep patterns and daily routine caused by sudden job loss are linked to obesity. Dr. Patricia Haynes is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Dr. Haynes, an assistant professor of psychiatry at the University of Arizona. She is the co-investigator of this new study. Patricia, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me here.
Well, tell me a little bit about this study and what you hope to accomplish.
Absolutely. So the purpose of the study actually is to determine whether sleep disruption plays a key role in weight gain for individuals who are exposed to a stressful and disrupting life event. And the life event that we're looking at in particular is involuntary job loss.
How are you going about doing this? And you call this a naturalistic study. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so we're looking at, over the course of 18 months, We're going to be looking at individuals who've lost their jobs and following them just through the course of their lives. So we know a lot of the links between sleep and appetite hormones. We know epidemiological studies tell us that there's a link between unemployment and obesity. Other studies show that there's other relationships between things in the model, but like we know there's relationships between stress and sleep, but we don't really know how this fits together for people in their natural lives. So that's the naturalistic part, is we're looking over the course of 18 months, what are people actually doing and how is this coming together?
You know, it would seem natural that when someone loses a job, perhaps they're not as, they're home more and maybe they're kind of hanging out and they're frustrated and they may be raiding the fridge a little bit more. So I wonder if that impacts it.
Absolutely. And in addition to it, we know that individuals who go through stress, I mean, unemployment, especially the longer you're unemployed, confers, you know, stress in terms of financial stress and other types of things might start to happen with housing and so all of that can lead to a pattern of insomnia as well. Worries at night that might keep you up or a tendency to stay up late and not getting the sleep that you need, which then may also lead to weight gain over the long haul.
Has there been some previous research, Dr. Haynes, on sleep, sleep and obesity and job loss and obesity?
Yeah, so we know there's been a number of laboratory studies now over the last couple of years showing a relationship between sleep curtailment, which is getting less sleep, and also hormones called leptin and ghrelin. So we know that appetite-suppressing and appetite-generating hormones are dysregulated when we don't get enough sleep. But that's all in the lab with people who are very healthy and people who are not overweight. So that's the naturalistic part.
I was just going to ask, what was your interest? Did you have some interest in obesity?
Yeah, actually,
I'm not saying that you perhaps were overweight or anything, but just what your interest was.
Well, to be honest, mostly what I was doing is, I spoke about this on NPR the other day. I was actually just driving around and listening you know, listening on the radio, and that's kind of what inspired the idea to a certain extent. Knowing this, what I know about leptin and ghrelin and sleep and obesity, I remember I was driving around, and I heard a story about, you know, it was during the recession and the employment crisis that we were having, and then right after that, I remember listening to Diane Rehm and hearing quite a bit about our obesity pandemic, and just kind of, I think having those two jobs featured so prominently in the news at the same time got me thinking about what I know about sleep and how those potentially could be related.
Does disruptive sleep, can that lead as well, those that don't sleep real soundly and kind of wake up every couple of hours, can that be a problem leading to obesity as well?
Yeah, and actually, that's exactly what we're trying to test, which is that's what we call the mechanism of why job loss might be associated with weight change. That's one of the big ones. That, along with what you were talking about, that social rhythm disruption, like your whole, when you lose a job, your whole daily rhythm kind of gets blown up. You know, everything in your household changes, and so it might make sense to sort of seek those comfort foods or you know, kind of stop exercising.
Well, and also, of course, the stress of not having the job, and you're trying to relax at night and go to sleep and get 7 or 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep. But when you're, as everyone I think knows, when you've got something on your mind, and in this case, it's trying to find a job, that's going to disrupt your sleep, isn't it?
Absolutely.
This is a unique relationship that this study came together. Did the Department of Economic Security, which oversees the unemployment situation, did they come to you at the University of Arizona, or how did that work, this study?
Well, actually, so I'm fortunate enough to have a co-investigator in the study named George Howe, who works at George Washington University in Maryland, and he had already developed a study, but he was looking at depression in the context of unemployment and effects on the family, and so I'd already kind of been familiar with his design. So knowing that, I said, hey, wouldn't it be great to go to the Arizona Department of Economic Security and see if they might be interested in partnering? And I think that, and they were. So right now we're working out the details of that partnership, but it's really exciting to have them on board.
Tricia, what do you think the significance of potential study findings for people who have lost their job and really on the general population will be?
Well, the hope is, I mean, if we find a relationship here, the hope is that this partnership could develop and lead to health promotion interventions. I mean, sleep is modifiable. It's something that we can do things to improve our sleep. So there could be the potential of working with Arizona Department of Economic Security to develop programs in the future that might help individuals who are unemployed improve health behaviors, improve their sleep, so that when they, you know, return to the job force or as they go forward in life, just with their health in general, we can reduce some of those risks.
Yeah, and it's probably a good idea that folks that are having those sleep disruptions look at alternatives and not necessarily going for the drugs. You know, I'm talking about deep breathing exercises, all of the things that Dr. Weil tells us about at the Center for Integrative Medicine, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, and in addition, there's, you know, one of the top treatments for sleep problems is something called cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia, which is a 6-session intervention that there are even sometimes there are even forms of this that can be administered on the internet that can really improve your sleep, and so associated with kind of our learning patterns around our bed.
How do the folks that you chose or have you chosen, the 250 people, are they all excited about participating in this?
Well, let's see. We're at the beginning stages of recruitment, so okay. We'll be sending out letters randomly to individuals with unemployment insurance applications.
Oh, okay. So that's how you're going to find these folks.
Exactly.
All right. Dr. Patricia Haynes, Assistant Professor of Psychiatry at the University of Arizona. Interesting stuff about a new study. Tricia, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Coming up now on 12:43 on the Buckmaster Show. Once a month, we turn to our consumer contributor on the Buckmaster Show, and that is Mr. Tom Collier. Tom is one of 24 very nice people and bright folks who contribute to this program on a regular basis. You can find out about them and their bios at buckmastershow.com. That's also the place for all of our podcasts and live streaming, along with kvoi.com and, of course, over the air on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha. Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. Not a very good singer, am I? But you know what? Cockroaches aren't a pleasant subject, and we had them. And I called my friend Shelby Hawkins over at Five Star Termite and Pest Control, and guess what? No more cockroaches. Adios, cucaracha. Hasta mañana. No más.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of handwoven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell, and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's a Thursday afternoon. That means tomorrow the weekend is here, right? Finally, at last. And if you're looking for a really nice getaway, something different, mile high elevation, we're talking 5,000 to 6,000 feet elevation, pile in the car, head over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We're only talking about 3 hours basically east of Tucson. Then you take a left at Lordsburg and then head up to Silver City. And it is autumn, and you'll see some autumn color in the high country. So this would be a really nice weekend to go over there, and lots of great places to stay and things to do. The hiking in the Gila, which is the nation's first wilderness, great area up there, and all the, if you like antique stores and art galleries, historic Silver City. Anyway, lots to do. Faywood Hot Springs Resort, Agave Ridge Retreat, just a couple of the several dozen places to stay that are listed on their great website, southwestnewmexico.org. All right, it's about 10 to 1, and let's welcome now our monthly consumer affairs contributor, Mr. Tom Collier. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing great. I was just thinking, you know, I could go to Silver City to do genealogy research because my grandfather homesteaded outside Silver City.
Oh, really?
And grew vegetables that he sold to the soldiers at the old Fort Baird there.
Yeah, Fort Baird, and they still...
Great part of the country.
Yeah, they still have a... There's a historic monument there at the fort, so...
I should go. We should go. Beverly and I should go.
Bev and Tom, hit the road. Not that we don't like you here in Tucson. We're not telling you to hit the road forever, but for a weekend, it would be great.
That would be cool.
Everybody, well, not everybody, but lots of folks very concerned about Ebola.
Everybody.
Everybody's concerned. Yeah. And I've been seeing these scams that are developing about... protect yourself against Ebola and all that stuff.
Well, if you look at the paper today, you know, 2/3 of the front page was dedicated to Ebola.
Yeah.
And even Fitz's cartoon on the editorial page was about Ebola. So it's a topic which is getting a lot of attention. And I just finished reading a book called The Science of Fear by an author named Daniel Gardner. And what he's talking about is how if you can look at widespread fear and you can harness it, then you can use widespread fear to generate a profit for your business, protecting, helping to protect or fool people into thinking that they're being protected from whatever it is that is causing the panic. And I think we're seeing that right now with Ebola, because not so much because that there are all that many scams out there yet, but I was harking back 4 or 5 years ago. Remember when we had the swine flu vaccine scare and people were running down to Nogales and bringing back barrels of Cipro, which is an antibiotic, which was is prescription here, but not prescription in Mexico. And we're looking
at maybe it still is over the counter now.
It's over the counter in Mexico. Yeah. A lot of stuff which you need a prescription for here in the U.S., you can buy over the counter in Mexico. But one of the things that we're beginning to see is offers on eBay or websites that are springing up offering protection from Ebola. And there's one in particular that I was looking at just before I came down to the studio that offers hazmat suits, except they're paper Tyvek suits, gloves and masks and goggles and disinfectant wipes and sprays and a little kit. And there's on another site, there's a relatively small gun manufacturer who's in the States who's offering Ebola or kits so that you can protect yourself from that. But one of the things that people need to be aware of is that the CDC protocol now essentially requires the equivalent of a medical spacesuit.
Mm-hmm.
A medical spacesuit. Mm-hmm. And buying a little paint mask that you can get at your hardware store and breathing through it or putting on a Tyvek suit is not going to protect you from Ebola. Taping down your shoes is not going to do anything that will protect you from Ebola. It's just one of those situations where a fool and his money are soon parted, and if you can harness fear and loathing, then the parting simply occurs faster in higher quantity.
And the suit they're promoting, you said, is made out of paper?
Oh, yeah. It's Tyvek, which is a brand name for this impervious. Sometimes the envelopes that you'll use for shipping services are made out of Tyvek. They're the ones that you can't rip open.
Yeah.
You know? They may be okay. In fact, you'll see them used in hazmat disposals, particularly, I mean, in Arizona, if you have a mold problem, it's treated as a hazmat situation in your house, and they tie it, you know, barrier it off, and people are in respirators and these Tyvek suits. But the question is, that's not the same thing. If you've seen pictures of some orthopedic operating suites, for example, you know, getting an infection in a knee replacement or a hip replacement is not a good thing. So they are really, really careful, and they really have these high-tech operating rooms where essentially you are in a medical spacesuit. You are completely isolated from the patient. They have these big umbilicals that you climb in through, and there's positive air pressure to keep the suit inflated. How the surgeon manages to manipulate, you know, use his fingers and things like that in those is beyond me. But that's the type of protection that is going to be required, that is being mandated. You can go online. I've read a couple of stories from people who are actually working the Ebola crisis in West Africa, and they talk about the complete suit-ups that they have to go through. First of all, you're in West Africa where it's hot and humid.
Oh, my goodness.
And you're in a suit which is completely sealed. With a respirator, the most time you can spend in something like that is 15 minutes. Otherwise, you're suffering heat prostration or heat stroke.
And so, to get the kind of suit that the CDC would recommend, and
it's not available to consumers.
It's not available to consumers, and if it was, it would probably be very costly. I mean,
would be costly, and plus then you'd need the provisions to be able to disinfect that suit and use it. And one of the other things, one of the stories about the gentleman, the unfortunate gentleman from Liberia who died in the hospital in Dallas, was the story about how the trash built up so quickly. That they had a room that was dedicated to the trash, and quickly the trash began to overflow because everything that patient touched, all the bodily fluids and things like that, had to be disposed of in a special way and contained. And I particularly remember the story about the people early on, before they got this thing sort of figured out. And I say sort of figured out because there's still information to come, but how people were walking past the trash room or the bags that were out in the hallway without any kind of protection at all. So that we're learning, it's a learning curve. But as a consumer, you can't protect yourself from Ebola. I mean, don't spend the money. Don't waste the money on this type of stuff.
Tom Collier with us on The Buckmaster Show. We are joined by Tom once a month talking consumer issues. Going to the supermarket looking, you know.
Switching topics to another pleasant more topic. It's barbecue weather. Let's talk about what you're going to throw on the grill.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you got to wonder sometimes when you go to the butcher and they put the meat on the scale, whether you're getting a real accurate reading.
Well, I wanted to talk about this because there's a chain of supermarkets back east that tried and failed to try to pull a fast one on consumers. You know, when you look at the meat in the supermarket rack, it's graded. You have choice and sometimes select. Usually it's choice. Meat is inspected by the USDA, and for an extra payment, the government will actually grade the meat. And there are three grades of meat. There's prime meat, there's choice meat, and there's select beef. Beef is what we're talking about usually. Have you paid off the mortgage on my last steak so I can go and look at some new ones, given what the prices are? But you can't buy prime beef in the supermarket.
Really?
As a consumer.
Is that's reserved for the restaurants?
It's reserved for the restaurants because it's so really expensive. And what they do with the grading is they do the marbling and the tenderness and that type of stuff. So what the supermarket did back east was, as a test, I'm presuming as a test, said USDA graded on the label. And you didn't know whether it was choice or select. And choice is kind of the middle grade, and select is sort of the bottom rung of the ladder. So there was a protest, and the USDA stepped in and said, wait a minute. People and the Federal Trade Commission stepped in, too, and said, if people are going to spend money for this product, they need to know what they're getting. They need to know whether it's choice or select. Because if you think you're getting choice and you're paying the price for choice, but you're only getting select, that's not fair to you as a consumer. So they ended this little experiment very rapidly. So now the packages are labeled choice or select so that you know what you're getting. And it's
just by saying it is graded.
What does that mean?
It's graded. Yeah.
What am I paying for?
Yeah. But the thing about prime, so if you're at a restaurant, do they have to say that the steak or whatever is prime?
It's usually in the title, and it's usually in the menu description. And if it isn't, then you might want to ask the server. But the point about that is that generally the restaurants reserve the prime, and the wholesalers reserve their sales to restaurants for prime. Sometimes it'll even be in the title of the restaurant, you know, so-and-so's Prime Steakhouse. And you just can't buy prime beef except under really, really unique circumstances. Maybe if they have a surplus that's offered to a chain of supermarkets so that they can offer it. But it's a really big deal if you can find prime beef in a supermarket meat display.
Okay, Tom Collier, thank you very much. We will see you in November, as this year has gone by so quickly.
Start your Christmas shopping list.
Yeah, well, probably in November we'll start talking again about ways to save money around the holidays, something
and
like that.
And whether or not you want to go shopping at some of those stores that have not been kind to your consumer and credit information.
There you go. Thank you, Tom. The Buckmaster Show. Thanks, Culligan. Better water. Pure and simple. Bottled water on the program all is provided by Culligan, and all of our in-studio guests enjoy a nice chilled bottle of Culligan. I'm finishing up my first bottle right now. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, Mike Shaw, host for Tucson at 4. We want to, of course, promote all of our local talk, morning, noon, and night. We've got local talk for 3 hours, tomorrow morning, 6 to 9. 6 to 8, it's Chris and Joe, and then Chris sticks around for the Daily Double from 8 to 9. And behind the glass will be Ed Alexander. And he's behind the glass right now. Thank you, Ed. And Ed and I hope you have a great afternoon and evening. Back tomorrow at 12:04.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.